Dear listeners of Radio Maria Canada, welcome to our program, The Power of the Rosary, from Toronto and hosted by Reno. It's a program where we share the good news of praying the Holy Rosary when we invite Mary, our Heavenly Mother, and recite her favorite prayer. She promises her protection, guidance, and solutions to the problems that plague our lives. Let's pay attention to the joyful news of help and comfort. Welcome.
Ave Regina della pace, Ave Madre dell'amor. Ave Regina della pace, Ave Madre dell'amor. Ave.
Good morning, and welcome to all our dear Radio Maria listeners. Today we will continue with the theme on the power of the Holy Rosary. In the last episodes, we considered on how to recite the Rosary well and considered the guidance of St. Louis de Montfort, Apostle of the Rosary, having written the book, The Secret of the Rosary, which is considered the Bible of this prayer. And he writes, whoever recites the rosary must be in the grace of God, or at least resolved to get out of the state of guilt, because theology teaches that good works and prayers done in mortal sin are dead works, not pleasing to God, and without any merit to eternal life. Then he further advises us that the most important quality in reciting the rosary is with faith and humility. Further, in the last episode, we also met Father Francesco Bamonte, president of the International Association of Exorcists and active exorcist in Rome. He also expands on this power, telling us, through his writings, the power that Our Lady and her rosary exercises in confronting the liberation of those who are possessed by the evil one.
These people, tormented by evil forces, experience the loving presence and immeasurable tenderness of the Virgin, and with the immense love of a mother comes next to her children, fighting for them and with them against the evil one. We also wish to remind you that Father Bamonte airs on Radio Maria with the program Father, Free Us from the Evil One, every second Saturday of each month at 2100. So if you wish, you can make an appointment to listen to his program, which is very informative on the subject. Today, we want to continue with the theme of the Holy Rosary, with the desire to understand and exemplify the prayer of the Hail Mary, which is one of the most loved prayers in the Catholic Church. The Hail Mary has a long history that is worth deepening, since it is recited not only in the morning and in the evening, but it is also the central prayer in the recitation of the Rosary. It seems like a very sweet and simple prayer, but it is also full of meaning, and therefore we would like to understand a little more about this angelic prayer, which generates and wields so much power in the spiritual realm.
The invocation of the Hail Mary consists of two parts. The first part expresses praise to the Virgin and Mother of God, which is, Hail, O Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. You are blessed among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. The first part consists of the angelic greeting of the Archangel Gabriel to the Virgin, followed by the greeting of Saint Elizabeth when the Madonna reached her to help her cousin when she had learned that she was in the sixth month of her pregnancy. The praises of the first part encompasses all that constitutes the true greatness of Mary and the invocation of all that we must ask of her and expect from her goodness towards us. The Holy Trinity revealed this first part through the Archangel Gabriel, and then later Saint Elizabeth, enlightened by the Holy Spirit, recognized Mary as the mother of the Savior, and greeting her, and added her joy in saying, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.
The second part of the Hail Mary invokes the intercession of the Virgin to help this humanity, which is in dire need of help, confused and sinful. That is, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. This part takes up the key concept that the Virgin is the true Mother of God and focuses on her powerful intercession on behalf of humanity. This part was in fact added by the Church in the First Council of Ephesus in the year 431, after having condemned the error of Nestorius, and it further defined that the Virgin Mary is the true Mother of God. The Council of Ephesus established that the Virgin Mary should be invoked under that glorious title with these words, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
The complete formulation of the Hail Mary, as we know it today, took place in the early centuries of Christianity, but it is first found written in the prayer book by the Blessed Antonio da Stroncone, who lived in the years 1368 to 1461. He was a Franciscan friar from Umbria, Italy, and his book, written in Latin, contains this complete prayer. The book can be found and it is preserved in the Church of San Damiano in Assisi, and here is also found his uncorrupted body. Furthermore, the prayer of the Ave Maria is also found written later in the Catechism of the Council of Trent of 1561, which also confirms that the second part of the Ave Maria was composed by the Church itself. Pope Pius V, who lived in 1504 to 1572, introduced it in the Roman Breviary in the occasion of the Feast of the Annunciation in 1568.
St. Louis of Montfort explains this prayer more deeply in the book, The Wonderful Secret of Rosary. He tells us the Hail Mary is like a heavenly and divine dew, which falling into the soul of the predestined soul, communicates a marvelous fecundity to produce every kind of virtue. And the more the soul is irrigated by this prayer, the more it becomes enlightened in the spirit, inflamed in the heart, and fortified against all its enemies. The angelic greeting is like the dew that bathes the dry and hard earth to prepare it for the sowing and sprouting of the Son of God. In fact, that greeting brought the Savior into a world fallen into the cruelty of the evil one to lead it back into grace and divine love. Then St. Louis tells us again that the angelic greeting is so sublime and noble that no creature can understand it. Only Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, is able to explain it.
This angelic greeting summarizes in the most concise way all Christian theology on the Holy Virgin. It contains a praise and an invocation, and it contains everything that constitutes the true greatness of Mary. St. Matilda, who lived in 1240 to 1298 and doctor of the church, wished to know the best way to testify the tenderness of her devotion to the Mother of God. One day, wrapped in ecstasy, she saw the Holy Virgin, who wore on her chest in gold letters the words of the angelic greeting. She said to her, "Know, my daughter, that no one can honor me with a more pleasing greeting than that which the adorable Trinity addressed to me through the angel, and with which he elevated me to the dignity of the Mother of God." The word Ave, which is the name of Eve, I learned how God in his omnipotence had preserved me from every stain of sin and from the miseries to which the first woman was subjected.
The name Maria, which means honored lady, makes it clear that God filled me with wisdom and light so that I can illuminate the sky and the earth like a shining star. The words full of grace remind me that the Holy Spirit filled me with a superabundance of graces so that he can share them in abundance with those who ask them through my intercession. By saying to me, "The Lord is with you," the ineffable joy that I felt when the eternal word became incarnate in my womb is renewed in my heart. When I hear the words, "You are blessed among women," I praise the mercy of God which elevated me to such a high degree of happiness. Finally, at the words, "And blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus," all heaven rejoices with me to see my Son, Jesus, adored and glorified for having saving mankind. These are the words of Our Lady addressed to Saint Matilda, explaining the Hail Mary.
So when we repeat, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus," there is infused a double blessing. One blessing addressed to Jesus, and the other blessing to Mary. Furthermore, with each Hail Mary, we give Mary the same honor that God gave her by greeting her through the mouth of the Archangel Gabriel, when the Archangel invites Mary to rejoice in what God has in store for her. Keep in mind that the name Maria means loved by God and is perfected, full of grace, by the Holy Spirit. St. Louis emphasizes telling us, if you want to enrich yourself with the goods of grace and glory, greet the Holy Virgin and honor your tender mother. In fact, it is written in Sirach, "Whomever reveres the mother is like someone who accumulates treasures." St. Augustine writes, "The charity of the Holy Virgin surpasses all the natural love of all men and all angels." She being our mother, our friend, and our queen of the universe loves us more than all mothers and queens together that have ever lived and ever loved any mortal man. We should rejoice and be humbled at this thought.
Thus the prayer of the Hail Mary is found written not only in the sacred scripture, but also in the tradition of the church. In addition, the magisterium has promulgated it by inserting it in its recitation in the Liturgy of the Hours, which is prayed both morning and in the evening vespers. So let us imitate St. Elizabeth, who, inspired by the Holy Spirit, recognized that the majesty and grace that enveloped Mary with celestial joy, we too, filled with spiritual consolations, will rejoice when we greet our mother with similar affections and love. Now, we'll do a short break, and then we will resume with our theme on the power of the Holy Rosary. We remind our listeners to arrange testimonial stories on the power of the Rosary and send them via mail, regular, or electronic to Radio Maria Canada, and we will then share them with our listeners on future broadcasts. Address them with Power of the Rosary. Thank you.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer, let it be.
Welcome back. We will now hear two stories that leads us to learn more about the power of the Rosary and its power to protect and help us to solve the many problems we encounter in our life. In the first story, we will narrate an event that takes place at the end of the Second World War in 1945, when the Soviets occupied Austria. But then, with the intercession of Our Lady, were forced to leave the country without a shot ever being fired. In 1945, immediately after the World War II, Austria, like Germany, was divided among the Allied forces, that is France, England, the United States, and Russia. The Soviet Union occupied the richest part of Austria, which also included its capital, of Vienna. However, as soon as possible they began the occupation, they started to organize demonstrations and insurrections to promote communism in order to promote the takeover of the rest of the country of Austria.
A Capuchin friar, Petrus Pavlicek, realizing this dramatic situation, prayed intensely at the feet of Our Lady, asking her for the light to meet the spiritual needs of the Austrian people. An answer was given to him clearly, hearing an inner voice saying, "Do whatever I tell you, and you will have peace." These were the same words that which the Mother of God had addressed the little shepherds at Fatima in 1917. The friar immediately noticed this coincidence and took them from his heart. Thus, in February 1947, the friar decided to establish a prayer movement with people who committed themselves to reciting the rosary at different times of the day to ensure that Our Lady was honored 24 hours a day throughout the Austrian national territory. Without any financial support, and seeing that the war had left his Capuchin order in total misery, Father Pavlicek began to travel the country preaching popular missions and founding local prayer groups for his movement. This movement grew rapidly and became known as Crusade for the Reparation of the Holy Rosary.
To avoid provoking the repression of the Soviets, the participants in the crusade prayed for two intentions: the conversion of sinners and peace in the world. To all, however, it was obvious that the latter included the liberation of Austria from the communist yoke. The primary purpose of the crusade was the fulfillment of the request of Our Lady of Fatima in 1917, which asked prayer, penance, and conversion. The friar preached, "Peace is a gift from God," and explained that peace is not a work of politicians, but it is a gift, and the gifts of God are obtained through prayer. Meanwhile, Father Pavlicek's crusade continued to expand, eventually reaching Germany and Switzerland. The number of its members now exceeded 500,000. But the more they prayed, the more Stalin obstinated and persisted in with the occupation. The situation in Austria became increasingly difficult, and the Soviets refused to budge in their occupation. But then, all of a sudden, a miracle happened.
Surprisingly, on March 24, 1955, the Kremlin leaders summoned the President of Austria, Julius Raab, to Moscow for an exchange of views. President Raab, assuming that something important was about to happen, before leaving he addressed Father Pavlicek, telling them, "Please, tell the faithful to pray more insistently." After just a couple of days of conversation at the highest level in Moscow, the impossible happened. For no apparent reason, the Soviets announced that within 3 months, they would withdraw all their troops from Austria. On May 15, the representatives of the four occupying powers signed the treaty in Vienna, which restored its total independence to the country. This move by the Soviets completely forced the full attention of the world on the event. In fact, for the first time, the communists withdrew unilaterally from any country. The last Soviet soldier left Austrian soil on October 26, 1955.
To commemorate the triumph, a torchlight procession with Our Lady of Fatima was convened in Vienna, in which nearly 500,000 people, including the highest ecclesiastical and civil authorities, took place. President Raab delivered a speech in which, after recognizing the role of the movement of Father Petrus Pavlicek, he concluded with these words, recognizing the role of our Mother Mary, and he said, "With our hearts full of faith, today we want to address a joyful prayer to heaven. We are free thanks to you, thanks to Mary." So this story is an example of the powerful role the Virgin Mary and her rosary wield in our life. Yes, sometimes it takes many years of fervent prayers before an answer arrives, but the longer it takes, the more wonderful the answer will be. So let us turn to Mary and ask her intercession in resolving our problems, even if they seem insurmountable. She, as a mother who loves her children, always comes to our aid.
Yes, Our Lady is gentle, sweet, humble, and tender, but she is also courageous and strong and powerful. And as we read the sacred scripture, Kent 6:10, which says, "Who is she that cometh forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in array?" So let us place all our trust in her intercessions, and she will never deny her help we need. In fact, Our Lady of Medjugorje, in her message of March 1st, 1982, said, "If you knew how much I love you, you would cry for joy." And as St. Padre Pio teaches us, let us pray. Pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful and will hear your prayer. The second example is a miracle attributed to the intercession of St. Padre Pio. But let us remember that Padre Pio was devoted to Our Lady and prayed the rosary incessantly, praying daily between 40 to 50 rosaries. This is the story of a child born without pupils, and thus blind from birth, but with heavenly intervention, which is always close to those who invoke it, with faith and humility, the child is granted the gift of sight.
An extraordinary case is that of Gemma Di Giorgi, who lives in Ribera, in the province of Agrigento, Sicily. She tells us, "I was born without pupils, and therefore blind. My eyes are not normal. For medical science, I shouldn't see anything at all. Instead, I see, read, and write like a normal person. But it was not always like this. I was born on Christmas Day in 1939. Almost immediately, my mother noticed that my eyes were different from those of other babies. And I was 3 months old, she began to suspect that I was blind and couldn't see. She took me to the doctor of Ribera, who, unable to assess the gravity of the situation, but took an interest and had me examined by two ophthalmologists, that is, eye specialists in Palermo. They were Dr. Cucco and Dr. Contino. Both doctors declared me blind because I had no pupils."
The whole family was now desperate, but there was nothing they can do or medically could be done. My parents told me that they often took me to church in front of the altar of Our Lady because only a miracle could heal my eyes. One day when I was 7 years old, a relative of ours, a religious nun, came to the house, and seeing me in that state, she advised my parents to seek the protection of Padre Pio, a holy Capuchin friar, whom had been gifted with the stigmata, that is, the holy wounds of Christ. My grandmother took this advice to heart and with great hope began to pray to Padre Pio. And she also recommended our relative religious nun to write a letter to the friar to invoke his prayers and help. After returning to her convent, our relative did write a letter to Padre Pio, detailing and recommending my case, but with great disappointment, received no reply.
One night, however, she dreamed of Padre Pio, who said to her, "Where is this Gemma, for which you are overwhelming my head with so many prayers?" Still in the dream, the nun introduced me to the father, who made the sign of the cross over my eyes and then disappeared. The next day, a relative received a letter from the father which said, "Dear daughter, I assure you that I will pray for the child and wish you well." A relative was very impressed by the coincidence of the dream that preceded the letter. Immediately, she wrote us a letter urging us with great enthusiasm to leave immediately for San Giovanni Rotondo, where St. Padre Pio lived. In those days, immediately after the war, traveling was extremely difficult. But with great hope and the company of other villagers, we left for San Giovanni Rotondo just the same. As the train traveled a stretch along the Mediterranean Sea, I had the impression of seeing something. I immediately told my grandmother, who disregarded it, not believing me because, while observing my eyes, she noticed they were as always missing the pupils.
When we arrived in San Giovanni Rotondo, we went to confession to Padre Pio. My grandmother had reminded me to ask him for the grace of healing, but unfortunately I forgot to ask. But I remember that as soon as I knelt in front of him, Padre Pio touched my eyes with the wounded part of his hand, tracing a sign of the cross. The grandmother, disappointed with my forgetfulness, kept crying. We stayed in the church all day until she too made her way to the confessional, and then she asked for my healing. Padre Pio told her, "Keep faith, my daughter. The little girl shouldn't cry either, and neither should you be worried, because Gemma sees, and you know it." I still had not received the First Communion, and I was lucky enough to receive it from the hands of Padre Pio. I had been prepared for the First Communion by my grandmother. At the moment of communion, being blind, a gentleman in the church had compassion, and he took me in his arms and brought me to the front of Padre Pio, who gave me the host and then traced his fingers with a second sign of the cross over my eyes.
We left San Giovanni Rotondo full of hope. Those shadows I had seen on the train journey were getting lighter and lighter. I had the impression that my vision was gradually improving. Once we reached Cosenza, my grandmother fell ill and was hospitalized, and we had to stop in the city for several days. Before leaving, my grandmother had me examined by an ophthalmologist of the hospital. Immediately, the doctor said that in those conditions, without pupils, I could never see. But because the grandmother insisted, the doctor subjected me to some simple experiments, and at the end he said, it is unexplainable. Without pupils, a person cannot see. I do not understand why this little girl sees. 4 months later, I was also examined by Professor Caramazza from Perugia, who subjected me to detailed examinations. He too declared that my eyes will never be able to see, but what was happening to me had no human explanation. Since then, my eyesight has continually improved to the point that I was able to attend school, learn to read and write, thanks to Padre Pio, and to lead a normal existence.
Let us keep in mind that Saint Padre Pio was very devoted to Our Lady and her rosary. In fact, he called it the weapon of our times. In fact, Padre Pio continually recited the rosary. He recited the rosary everywhere, in the cell, in the corridors of the monastery, in the sacristy, going up and down the stairs, day and night, wherever he be. He was always praying the rosary. In fact, Mrs. Elena Bandini, a very devoted spiritual child and a close friend of Padre Pio, in writing to Pope Pius XII in 1956, testified that Padre Pio recited over 40 whole rosaries daily. One day she asked Padre Pio how many rosaries he recited. He replied, "At times, 40, and at other times, 50. She asked, "How did he do it?" Padre Pio replied, "And how can you not recite them?" So let us be guided by Saint Padre Pio, and we take the weapon entrusted to us, that is the rosary, and recite it and encourage others to pray this blessed prayer, which always rewards with wonderful fruits to those who recite it devoutly.
The time is running short, so we greet and thank all our dear listeners for taking part in this program. We remind you to arrange testimonial stories on the power of the Rosary and send them via mail, regular or electronic, to Radio Maria Canada, and we will then share them with our listeners on future broadcasts. Address them with the power of the Rosary. We encourage our listeners to pray the Holy Rosary either in groups or alone, reminding of the victory that has been promised to us at a proper time. This is a promise we cannot dispute because it has been promised by our dear mother. We would like to acknowledge now the contributors to this episode, which are Innamorate di Maria, Santuario, and Luce di Maria, found on the internet. The time of our disposal has ended. Reno and Teresa from Radio Maria Canada wish you a very good day. We ask God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, with Mother Mary to bless us and keep us safe now and always. Ciao, ciao.
We thank our dear listeners of Radio Maria Canada for having welcomed us into their homes. Let's make an appointment for next week at the same time when we continue with the power of the Rosary. Ciao. Tu sei la madre.